Well, tonight I'm going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and we're definitely not going to get through it all tonight. I've overstuffed the turkey. But I'm going to talk about speaking in tongues from a biblical standpoint and also a scientific standpoint. I want to read this article here. It's from the New York Times.
Oh, wow.
They're not really too hip on our our thought process, but it's scientific, and it's called A Neuroscientific Look at Speaking in Tongues. And it talks about, I'm going to talk about it a little bit, because there's a, it's interesting what happens to the brain, and there's some scientific proof, not only from a biblical spiritual standpoint, but what it does to us physically. And so this is, it's by Benedict Carey, and back in 2006. But anyway, I thought that was interesting. There's a study by University of Pennsylvania, and they examined the brains of 5 spirit-filled women. Okay, that's dangerous already. I mean, whoa, look out. That scientist, I mean, whoa. Tongue-talking ladies. All right, we love it. So anyway, but it says that University of Pennsylvania, they took brain images of 5 women while they spoke in tongues. Here we go. And they found that their frontal lobes, the thinking and the willful part of their brain through which people control what they do, were relatively quiet. So what it meant was while they were praying in tongues, the frontal lobe what they use to think and speak was stagnant. It was quiet while they were praying in tongues. And now these ladies, they maintained self-consciousness and were active, right? Now I think this is interesting. The article says the women were not in blind trances, and it was unclear which region was driving the behavior. So they couldn't track in the brain physically when they spoke in tongues where it was coming from. Well, it wasn't coming from the brain, right? It was coming from the spirit, right? So we're seeing scientific proof here. Now listen to this. The images appearing in the current issue of the Journal of Psychiatric Research, Neuroimaging, pinpoint the most active areas of the brain. The images first of their kind taken during this spoken religious practice, which then it goes on, it talks about roots in the Old Testament and the New Testament and in Pentecostal establishments. Here we go. The women in the study were healthy and active churchgoers. Okay, that's interesting. We're going to keep going down here. And then it says, the amazing thing was how the images supported the people's interpretation of what was happening. So this Dr. Andrew B. Newberg, leader of the study, and he talks about this, and he says, the way they describe it and the way they believe it is that God is talking through them. In the study, the researchers used imaging techniques to track changes in blood flow in each woman's brain in 2 conditions. Here we go. Once, as they sang gospel songs again, they measured it while they were speaking in tongues. So they were cognitive, they were seeing things they understood, gospel songs, and then they also began to speak in tongues. By comparing the 2 patterns by these 2 emotional and devotional activities, the researchers could not pinpoint blood flow speaking from the unique act of speaking in tongues. They could not find the blood flow and the activity in the brain where it came from. And then they also said, the subject, she is a born-again Christian, so the born-again Christians, who says that they consider the ability to speak in tongues, here we go, a gift. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
A gift. You're aware of your surroundings, she said. You're not out of control, but you have no control on what's happening. You just flow. You're in the realm of peace and comfort, and it's a fantastic feeling. So we go. Now, listen to this. This is interesting, too. Contrary to what the common perception, studies suggest that people who speak in tongues, here we go, rarely suffer from mental problems. Right here. University of Pennsylvania, baby, right here. Then it goes on. They did this. A recent study of nearly 1,000 evangelical Christians in England found that those who engaged in the practice were more emotionally stable than those who did not. Researchers have identified at least 2 forms of the practice. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. How we can't, they, scientists can't figure out, there is no trace of where, how the blood flows when you're speaking in tongues. They can't find the source. They're not finding any neurological activity that's going on in the brain when it's happening. And then also, too, those who speak in tongues have less mental illness, per se, than those who don't. So tonight we're going to talk about tongues. Amen? And this is why the devil fights so much, is because there is just more than rattling off, praying in tongues, and it doesn't sound like it. It impacts you physically and spiritually. There are impacts to your life by speaking in tongues. James 1:17. This is why the devil fights so much against us about me teaching this. And there is so much ignorance out there. And I'm telling you what, there is a spiritual dynamic here about speaking in tongues that will change your life. Brother Hagin said it. Now Kenneth E. Hagin went to Rhema. He, along with other people like Oral Roberts and, you know, Lester Summerall, and Rick Renner's a great author, and there's a lot of great authors out there. But Brother Hagin is one of the most prolific writers on the subject of tongues. On the subject of tongues. I remember, I can't remember, she's out of Colorado. I was in Colorado one time. Marilyn Hickey came up to me, and she's on TV, and I always watched her and Sarah on TV down at, when I was in Tulsa, and they'd be on TV there, and we watched that too. But Marilyn Hickey came up to me, and she just wrote, got done finishing, authoring a book about speaking in tongues, but she wanted mine. She wanted ours at the book show, and we had just got done with a legacy edition from Brother Hagin about a believer's authority, right? And she was talking about authority, and she wanted these books. I said, here, don't take these. Take the legacy editions. There's more material on it. So I said, I'll tell you, I'll give you a deal. I'll give you one of our books if you give me a signed copy of yours. She goes, it's a deal. She came back 10 minutes later, and we swapped books. But the point is, she wanted Brother Hagin's books. I mean, she just wrote the same topic, and she was there promoting her book, but she came over to talk to me to get one of our books about Brother Hagin. So he is very prolific. And there's other people out there that are great. Marilyn Hickey is a great author, and she's just a tremendous teacher. And, you know, like I said, there's just so many great people around there. But there's so much misunderstanding, and it's really on purpose. You know, religious folks, and there's a lot of demonic activity going on, and the devil doesn't want you speaking in tongues. Just like Brother Hagin said, speaking in tongues is a gateway to the supernatural.
It is. Amen.
Right? Yes. All I remember is every time that I ever had spiritual experience is often with me spending extended times of prayer, praying in the Spirit. I remember when we had a Holy Ghost meeting, and I've said this before, we were just talking about this morning, about how my old church, when I was a kid, it was basically like, we were just basically like tongue-talking Baptists, right? I mean, we basically, you know, kind of the God's will thing, and we did special and spoken, and I mean, it was kind of religious, but we had a handle on speaking, you know, people. Now, I will back up and say this, we didn't know how to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was just kind of, you tarry, you wait, and just, you know, you're kind of there, and hopefully something happens, you know. I felt like a little two-year-old, like a one-year-old trying to walk, you know. I was like, I'm trying to get this thing down here, I'm trying to do it, and it wasn't working. But I remember the pastor laid his hands on me, where he's been speaking in tongues for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I had an open vision of God. That's the first time God really, I mean, I had experiences when I was little, but had an open vision of my entire life when I was 12. At that time. And you can't tell me that speaking in tongues and when the Holy Spirit manifests, that things don't change.
That's right.
You have revelation. Well, just enormous amount of stuff we're not going to go through tonight, obviously. But James 1:17 says, and this is the New American Standard Bible, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Can I say something right now? We're going to read this, and this is something we got to get a revelation here. Every gift from God is good.
Yes.
I know that's hard to imagine for some people, right? Because if the Holy Spirit is a gift, and tongues is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, then it's what? It's good.
Amen.
It's not something that we need to be scared of or intimidated of. Luke 11:13. Luke 11:13. Oh man, I wish we could really go deep tonight, but I thank God every day I'm saved. I thank every day God has given us the Holy Spirit. I would just be lost without Him. Gives us revelation and understanding on things. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. So if you, being evil, talking about us carnal people, right? Us natural people, know how to give gifts, good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Guess what? It doesn't matter what kind of good, I mean, Christmas time. You know, how many kids love Christmas time? I love Christmas time, right? It's just awesome, right? So you can imagine this, this scripture, no matter what good gift you think you've gotten in the past, I mean, it could be huge, it could be awesome, as biggest, most awesome toy ever. That's improper English, sorry. But it sounds cool. But no matter what you've received, it still pales in comparison to the Holy Spirit, the gift that God gave us, right? And everybody always acts like, you know, always scared of the Holy Spirit. You talk about the Holy Ghost. Oh, that Holy Ghost, those are Holy Ghost people. Well, thank God. Hallelujah. Last time I checked, it was part of the Trinity. Right? Amen. I don't understand it, you know? I mean, act like, you know, Jesus and God are all scared of the Holy Ghost or something. No, they're all one. They're three in one. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 20, and it says this. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The one who has believed and has been baptized will be saved. Now, I want to stop there for a minute, okay? You're turning there. Oh, wait. Is being saved a good thing?
Yes.
Check. Yep, that's a good thing, all right? So we're going to go through all the, everything on this list is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Everything, right? But I like how people will pick and choose what's good and what's bad, right? Yeah. So if God says that whatever he gives, it's a good thing, why are so many people saying it's a bad thing or it's of the devil? Then he goes on here and he says, so number one, we know that if we believe, we can be saved. So that's salvation, right? That's a good thing. I want to be saved. I've never heard anybody say, getting saved is a bad thing. Right? I was drowning and they saved me. It was an awful experience. Well, thank you for saving me. I remember I was a kid. I was crazy back then, okay? And I don't know how many times I had near-death experience. I'm pretty sure when I get to heaven, my guardian angel is going to be, I need a break, brother, okay? When I was a kid, I slid down a slide, and I was crazy, and I went in the deep end, didn't know how to swim out. This is great, everything. And then all of a sudden, if somebody's pulling me out of the water, right? Well, thank God they did. They saved me. That's a good thing. It's a good thing. So check that box. That's a good thing. And then it says, but the one who is not believed will be condemned. Verse 17, these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will what? Cast out demons. That's a good thing, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's kind of a good thing, right? The devil comes along. We have the authority to kick him out of our house, kick him out of our life. That's a good thing, right? So we're all good things here, okay? We all agree on that. Yes, this is a good list so far. And then it goes on. Then it says, in my name, they will cast out demons. They will what? Speak with new tongues. Okay, that's a good thing, right? But all of a sudden, too many people want to call this bad. No, that's a good thing. Keep going. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not harm them. That's a good thing, right? Okay. Another idiot thing. When I was doing one time, I found a spray can. I thought, oh, this is cool, you know, when I was a kid. I looked like a raccoon. I had a big old black streak right there. Oh, you want that when you have kids around, right? You don't want to, you know, you want to make provision that they don't. But the point is, if you do, we can pray, we can believe in those situations. Now, I don't believe in handling poisonous snakes, and we're going to drink Drano tonight, or, you know, what is that? What's the big thing that was going around? The pod? The Tide Pods? Okay. You know what? If you've done that, come up here now. We want to pray for gray matter to manifest between your ears, right? No. Hopefully nobody's done that. And it says, not harm them. They will what? Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. That's all a good list, right? And then it goes on, it says, verse 19, so then when the Lord has spoken to them, he was received up in heaven, sat down. Here we go. And they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirming the word by the signs that followed. So guess what? He went to heaven, and guess what? He's still here with us, working with us, making sure that everything works out fine. He's still overseeing his word, and he's working with us. So I think that's a good list, right? All of a sudden, you know, people just kind of skim over this part.
Yeah.
Or they'll skim over this Acts chapter 2, or they'll skim over the book of Acts, you know. So everyone is a blessing, right? We can't pick or choose. And I'm going to say this too. We are in the church age. So everything after Jesus died until, you know, we step over to be with the Lord, or, you know, the tribulation happens, all this. We're in the church age right now. All of this is still in effect. There's no expiration date on this stuff. It's still here.
Yes.
Now, we'll see later, the expiration date is when we step over to be the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. Why would I need to speak in tongues when I'm face-to-face with it? You know, I don't have this flesh to interfere anymore. So, obviously, there's a very heightened awareness in heaven. We don't have to worry about things. We just know things because we're tapped into the Holy Spirit directly. So again, speaking, and people will say, well, you just have a special gift. No, there's different types of different functions of tongues, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes, like you see, maybe Adrian and myself will get up, we'll speak in tongues, and there'll be interpretation. There's for public ministry. Also, too, in the book of Acts, we see that, you know, sometimes God will speak through people for tongues to communicate with other people in other languages. Also, too, there's an individual, it's for individual prayer time, right? Mm-hmm. To build yourself up, or corporate prayer. So we pray in the Holy Ghost earlier today, before church.
Amen.
Luke chapter 24. Now, I'm going to get into some things here, guys, gals. Luke 24, verse 45, and it says, then he opened their minds, talking about the Lord here. This is towards the end. Now I want to pause here for a moment. Luke wrote the book of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. So if you ever want to stop and you read the book of Luke and then you flow right into Acts, it dovetails perfectly. Mm-hmm. It's just perfect. So, you know, I didn't organize the Bible. I don't know why. I mean, to me, my logical brain would probably go from Luke right into Acts. But again, you know, what do I know? The Holy Ghost is smarter than me. So, you know, it kind of worked out that way. But Luke flows right into the book of Acts very nicely if you want to read that in context. So now this is Jesus here. He's in his ministry, and he's, you know, giving some commandments and doing different things here towards the end. He says, then he opened up their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, so it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. He's, again, recapping some things. And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now, here we go. Stop. Let's read this. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Here we go. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. What is Jesus saying here? He is commanding his disciples, don't do anything until you receive the Holy Ghost in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Can I say this? I mean, maybe this may not be too appealing for some people too. Being born again without being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's like eating cake with no frosting. You know what I'm saying? It's like, wait a minute here. I'm wasting my time. You know, I'm not wasting my time, but I'm just, it ain't quite, like Brother Hagin said, it's like washing your feet with your socks on. It's just kind of like, you're kind of doing it, but it's not really effective. You know what I'm saying? just kind of. So Jesus here now commands the disciples to stay in Jerusalem because they're ready to go. I mean, they're all hopped up. You know, they've been, you know, drinking monster drinks, and they're all amped up to go. And they're, yeah, been down there drinking 40 buckets of coffee. I mean, they're ready to go. You know, you look at them in the book of Acts later on. I mean, they're all ready to go out and spread this good news. And he's like, no, wait, because you need this. Now, if Jesus says you need it, then guess what? You need it, right? You need it. But there's all these people, they're more spiritual than Jesus, so.
Yeah.
And I kind of try to stay away from those people. But anyway, the ascension. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he parted them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with what? Great joy, and were continually in the temple praising God. So this news of this new power, this new anointing, this gift that he was getting, guess what? There was joy. Mm-hmm. They're excited about it. Mm-hmm. Acts chapter 1. So we see at the end of Luke that Jesus commands his disciples to do it. Commands them to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Commands them this the gift, the Holy Spirit, and the empowerment is going to change things. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he had said, you heard of from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I want to stop here. Notice how Jesus commanded them. And how many people that are in Christianity act like everything Jesus said is a choice?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know, like it's some kind of a option or something, you know? Yeah. Well, I don't know. Should I or should I not? You know, if Jesus says you need it, you need it.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus stood right in front of you and said, hey, you need to walk across the street and do this. Would you do it? Right? Yeah. But again, too many people, they're not. Paul said, I am a slave unto Christ. Now, is Jesus got a bullwhip there, you know, doing this? No, what he means is, I am so sold out to Christ that no matter what he says, I am bound to do what he says. I am bound to do it. Let's move on here. And then, so again, but he said to them, it is not for you to know the time periods or the appointed times which the Father has sent in his authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Here we go. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and as far as other parts of the earth. So he's still saying, stay in Jerusalem. We've got something coming. Am I boring you guys tonight?
No.
All right. So we see here that the Holy Spirit's a gift. Every gift from God is good. So we know the Holy Spirit is good. And, you know, I can tell people don't have any idea what they say. Where they say, well, you know, are you into that tongue stuff? That's like saying, are you in that salvation stuff? Because with Jesus comes salvation, right?
Yes.
So I don't separate salvation and Jesus. It's just like a one thing, you know? I mean, Jesus provides salvation for us. So I don't, but, oh, that salvation stuff, or, you know, you believe in that crucifixion stuff. That's part of the deal, right? I mean, I don't look at, you know, Brother Hagin said it was really good to kind of play on words too, but he's like, you know, I don't go to the shoe store and say, well, I want a pair of shoes and can you put the tongues in with it? It just all comes together. I mean, you get a pair of shoes, you get tongues in the shoes, right?
Yeah.
I like to do that sometime, walk into a shoe store somewhere. Yeah, I'll take a pair of shoes. Do you have any shoes without tongues in it? I mean, but Acts chapter 2, verse 1. I find it interesting because one of the former dean of Rhema when I was there, how many people just absolutely hate this message, especially in a lot of churches. he's from Mount Pleasant area and had a church there for years. Before he got the church going, he would go travel and do different things, and he's does traveling and he does, you know, missions and everything else too. But he's the guy, he's one of those guys where it's like one of those, you listen to his stories and you're thinking, did that really happen? You know, he's the guy that's been everywhere, done everything, you know. It's like, I mean, I've seen stuff, but he's got like, yeah, stories. It's like, okay, let me pull up a chair. I got to listen to this. But he said one time he was in a church talking and preaching about this stuff, and he goes, the deacons were in the basement trying to decide whether to throw him out of the church right now, like pull him off the stage in the middle of this message and throw him out of the church physically. And so, you know, there is just people that just do not like this message whatsoever. And what happens is, I saw a little cartoon, and it was really kind of interesting. And it was a little cartoon, and it had like a little church, you know. And then it had Jesus on the outside knocking, and then all these people pushing the door. Don't let him in. He'll change everything. And I thought, that's interesting. That's a good cartoon. And I think that's, people are scared of the Holy Spirit because what happens? It was a church building, right? It was a church building. So nobody's back there by the back door, are they? No. Tell him to get away. But Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, when the day of the Pentecost had come, they were all come together in one place, and suddenly a noise like a violent rushing wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now, where did it come? It came from hell? No, it came from heaven. Interesting. You know, it's so incredible. I mean, I just love it. You can figure out so many things if you just read. Right. Isn't that amazing? Like all these people, well, I don't believe that. You know what? I know it's hard. It's just like. Right? I mean, you can answer your own questions if you just read the Bible. It's just amazing how many people are like, well, I disagree with that. Just read what's in there. That's it. You know, even I can figure it out. Believe what you read. You know, and there's some people, they'll skip around, like I talked about earlier. They'll skip around the book of Acts. Like, skip right over it. Well, goes on here. And so there was a violent, came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, and tongues that looked like fire appeared to them, distributing themselves, and a tongue rested on each one of them. Here we go. And they were all filled with the devil, right? Because speaking in tongues, it comes from the devil, right? No. It says, and they were all filled with what? The Holy Spirit. And began to speak with tongues as the devil. That's not in there, is it? As the Spirit was given them the ability to speak out. Right? Mm-hmm. How many people believed that speaking in tongues is the devil? I have one thing. Every time we're seeing tongues in the Bible, we're not going through it tonight because I got way too much stuff. We're not going to be able to get through it all tonight. But. And I'll give you a little cheater. I'm going to give you a little bit of sneak peek tonight. But every time the Holy Spirit is manifest, there's number one, there's joy and there's freedom.
Yes.
Right? And you can always tell the Holy Spirit, as opposed to a familiar spirit, a demonic spirit, is because every time the Holy Spirit manifests, there's freedom. Mm-hmm. Because you, what? Because we have the fruits of the Spirit, right? Galatians chapter 5, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, faithfulness, long-suffering. Those are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. You know, when the Holy Spirit shows up, just like we read in the article right there, there is freedom and there is joy and there is peace.
Yes.
Anything else that's not of that, you're going to have a heaviness. It's going to feel weird, right? It's not going to feel right. Anytime the Holy Spirit shows up, there is freedom, there is joy, there's liberty. It's wonderful. So again, many people, we were in our pastor in Oskaloosa there, he's a Rhema graduate, went to ORU and everything. But we were, we went to this, which I'm like, I don't know why we came to this thing. It was a denominational church. And they were talking about, demonology and all this other stuff. And they were showing pictures, and I'm like, oh, this is disgusting. This is weird. I mean, they were showing just stuff that we didn't want to talk about. It was weird. And I don't know why we're doing all this other stuff. And this morning, they said, is tongues of the devil? And we're all sitting there going, oh! And the guy said, well, I don't know, but I was just, he said, and I thought this was hilarious. He says, I don't know if it is speaking in tongues, but I will say this, that I got saved through people who were spirit-filled. And I'm thinking,
okay, done.
Right? If it's not the devil, you're never going to point, the devil's never going to point you to Jesus. I mean, it's like, so anyway, but, and I'm thinking, just Google tongues, and it'll pull scriptures up, you know? I mean, how hard is this, people? But anyway, so we got to make things hard. Some people, you know, and I've gone through the school of hard knocks too, so I there's some things, but anyway. Hosea 4:6, here we go, and we're gonna wrap things up here. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The devil wants to keep you stupid. Right?
That's true.
Because if he can control, you if you're stupid.
Yeah.
If you don't know any better, he is going to eat your lunch and leave a note that Jesus did it. Since you have rejected my knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. I'm telling you what now. I'm telling you what. These things are generational. If you will pray in tongues, and if you're excited about it, your kids will be excited about it.
Yeah.
Your household will be excited. I love praying in tongues, right? I want to do it more and more and more and more and more, right? But there are things. We can see right here, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. People aren't accessing this because they don't understand it. And they don't understand what it can do for you. We already saw right here, it's going to help you with your mental problems. I'm just telling you. I'm serious. I had a pastor one time, and I'm not a counselor, I'll tell you that right now. I mean, I'll counsel people and I'll talk about things, but I'm going to point you back to the Word.
Yes.
And sometimes I'll see things in the spirit realm and I'll share with people. And sometimes it's not just, well, we're going to counsel, we're going to hold hands, we're going to sing Kumbaya. Sometimes there's things in the spirit and it's spiritually hindering you.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's where praying in tongues is going to reveal some things to you, because you're not going to get it just by singing Kumbaya. It's not going to happen, right? You got to get in the spirit, and the Holy Spirit's got to reveal things to you. I like to talk to people, but I like to get things fixed and move on. I know there's counselors out there. They like to drag people on. I've got friends of mine in other towns and everything too. And it's like, they go with counselors, and then it goes into years and years and years and years and years. It's like, when are we going to figure this out? You know what I'm saying? I mean, how long do we need to drag this on? Let's fix the problem and move on, right? I never could understand recovering alcoholics. It's like, are you recovered or what? You know, I mean, when's this thing going to come to an end? I'm a resolved person, you know? I want to get things done, move on, and move on with my life, and move on to the next stage. And you can too, and the Holy Spirit will help you. So people who, again, reject speaking in tongues, they are actually rejecting the person, the Holy Spirit. Because what is it? Speaking in tongues is a manifestation of a person, which is part of the Trinity,
mm-hmm.
which is the Holy Spirit, right? So God is actually giving us a gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is giving us a gift of one of the gifts, which is tongues. We're going to go through more of the gifts probably in the next week or two. But it is one of the gifts, and it is a good gift. Because why? Because it came from God. And only ignorance is going to drive people to get into fear over it. And there's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. Because if Jesus gives his stamp of approval on the Holy Spirit, then we should too. And if he commands us to do it, I told Adrian, we were talking last week, I said, it's amazing how many people are rebellious to speaking in tongues, but they claim to love the Bible. Right? And just so many people have so many liberties I see all around. I'm like, oh, that'd be really nice to be able to do that, but I won't do that. I won't do this. I won't do that. I refuse to do that. And it's not because I'm bound or I'm legalistic or anything, because it's just like this. I'm free. So I gave up drinking like 25 years ago. I don't want to do that stuff anymore, right? There's nothing like legalistic on my life that like, oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. I don't want to do it because it doesn't please him, right? The Apostle Paul said, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost. I love the Holy Ghost. A fellowship with the Holy Ghost. We talk. All right, let's do one more. I'm excited. You ain't talking about this one. I'm talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I love it. And that's one thing too. Brother Hagin always said, and it's something I completely agree with. People argue, well, how do you know you're baptized in the Holy Spirit? You don't have to. You can be filled with the Spirit and not pray in tongues. And we'll look at all the examples in Acts coming up, but you can really trace back every one of them. They were born again, and you can trace like the Apostle Paul. Later in the book of Corinthians, after he was on his road to Damascus. Later on, he got filled with the Spirit. And what does he talk about? I speak in tongues more than you all, right? Forsake not of this speaking in tongues. So obviously he does speak in tongues, and he was filled with the Spirit. And he does have the evidence of speaking in tongues, because he writes throughout all of the epistles. Or not all of them, but many of the epistles, he talks about speaking in tongues, doesn't he? So unless he's a liar, no. He talks about speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for the one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. For no one understands, here we go, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Why does the devil hate this so much? Because he can't figure out what you're talking about. And you know what? The devil doesn't need to know all of our game plans. He doesn't. And I can pray out mysteries, and he doesn't know what's going on. And angels are going, oh, okay, I'm going over here now. Oh, I got to do this now. Okay, awesome, awesome. And he's like, what is going on? And that's exactly what we want. And again, this is just one aspect of speaking in tongues. There's multiple ones. Verse 14 says, For if I pray in a tongue, here we go, what? My spirit prays, but my mind is unproductive. Guess what the article just read, we just read there. Our mind is unfruitful, right? So the parts of the brain, the frontal lobe that engages in speech and other thought process activities, does not have blood flow, and it does not have any electrical currents in it. It lines up right with the scripture, doesn't it? It's amazing. I always laugh because people will say things, well, just trust the science, just trust the science. No. I'll stick with the Bible, and then science will eventually figure out the Bible's right. I just give it a little time. You know, they got to go through everything the hard way. And then it says, verse 18, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all, right? So the Apostle Paul is saying here, I speak in tongues more than you all. Now, I think Apostle Paul is probably one of the most intelligent, besides Jesus, obviously. Behind Jesus, Jesus is the most, obviously. But the Apostle Paul is probably one of the most brilliant minds according for the scriptures. It was the Apostle Paul, right? And if he's probably one of the smartest men and the most, he had one of, probably I would say, the most revelation. He spoke in tongues like nonstop. So there's something to this, right? And then verse 39, we'll close with this. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, earnestly desire to prophesy. Here we go. And do not forbid speaking in tongues. Do you think tongues is important? And we haven't even really scratched the surface yet on tongues. I'm so happy I had to sit down to keep from clapping. I'll tell you what, right now, I am just absolutely in cloud nine, right? And when you pray in tongues, guess what? You are taking an offensive attack against the enemy. Why? Because what is one of the things that we see, the sword of the Spirit, right, is the word. And what Did you notice that in the, we're not going to go there in Ephesians, but the armor of God, there's only one that's offensive, and that is the sword. Everything else is defenses. The shield, the helmet, the breastplate of righteousness, the gospel, the shot of our feet. There's all of these things, but only one is the sword. That's when we speak the word, right? And I believe that's not only the written word, but it's also the logos and the rhema word. So the logos is the written word. The rhema is what the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And that can either be in English or your understanding, or that can be in tongues, right? Because this one's already established, and this is God's word. But you know what? God's word is also the one he's speaking to you right now into your spirit. And it's also the one that you can pray out in the spirit realm when you're praying in tongues. So there's multiple functions of speaking in tongues that's going to help you. It's going to give you revelation. I remember Pastor talking about this, and I always encourage people too when we talk, that he says, I never had spent any time really counseling people. He says, before I counsel them, he's like, I would tell them to go into the other room, pray in tongues for 2 hours, and then we'll come back. And they always come back, well, I got to figure it out. Well, of course you do, right? Because if you just settle your mind down a little bit and you listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll show you things to come, right? Yes. You know, Heather was just talking about being guided this week, you know. He's going to help us. He's not thrown off guard like, oh, you know what? Amy's got all this stuff going on. And he knows what's going on, right? He knows the answer. We're not throwing him a curveball or anything like, oh, can you believe it? I can't believe that's going on. He knows everything. He's got all the answers. So we just tap into him, and we receive it by the Holy Spirit. You know, the speaking in tongues is beautiful. It is liberating. And so, anyway, if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk more about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the weeks to come. But it is something that I believe the enemy is fighting against so much, and we need to come back to these things. Because if we're not careful, like Brother Hagin said at some point, if we don't maintain the Spirit-filled life, it could be lost in the next generation. And, you know, but I also believe that in the word that the Lord said that the latter would be greater than the former. The latter would be greater than the former. So there's definitely something going on, and I believe God is wanting to do a work, and not only that, but God is wanting to manifest things through all of us to reach people in the world.
Yes.
And to be an example, right? Because, you know, we as Christians, I mean, you know, we shouldn't be, you know, broke. We shouldn't be depressed. We shouldn't have wrecked marriages. We shouldn't have these things. God doesn't, that's not his plan. I know life happens and you know, just things happen. But God wants good things for you. He's given us good gifts. We need to take advantage of those gifts so we can grow and mature. If you made mistakes, don't beat yourself up. Got it? It's not here. We're not here to beat anybody up or anything else too. But the Bible gives us tool, and through the Holy Spirit empowers us. Because let's just say this. I mean, if we're only relying on this word, which is powerful, it doesn't tell you what you need to do, right? It doesn't tell you you should take this job. You know, you shouldn't marry this person because of this or that. You know, you need to watch out for this person. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you in things that it doesn't give you here in the Bible. I remember just several times, you don't know how many times we've been in cars and we have prayed in the Holy Ghost and God has saved us from a wreck. One time we were going to from Oskaloosa to Ottumwa, or from Ottumwa to Oskaloosa Saturday night, and we were praying in tongues, and the Holy Ghost told me, we're going up a hill, and I just came over me so strong, I said, Andrew, we got to pray in the Holy Ghost, something's going on. Got to the bottom hill, we got up to the top, came over a hill, and I slowed down, and this drunk driver went across the median. This wasn't like at midnight. This is, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't very late. Went over the median and could have hit us and killed us and went down in this big ditch, you know. And we were on vacation in South Dakota, and we just got our black vehicle. We had it like, what, a week or two? Yeah, we just got it. And so, you know, we're like, hey, it's a really nice car. We're just really excited about it because we thought, well, we just got it. Go on vacation. Sure enough, we're heading home. And, you know, you can truck pretty good in South Dakota, right? You're going 80 miles an hour, you know, or 85 or, you know, or you want to stretch it, whatever. But we're going, and all of a sudden, it just came over. We start praying in the Holy Ghost. We were driving, and there's two deer. They literally went, one went right in front of us, probably 5 feet in front of our car, and 5 feet behind our car. It was just totally perfect, like it was just orchestrated that way. And I thought, thank God. I mean, having two deer come at you, and these were biggins. I mean, they were, you know, pretty good-sized boys. Yeah, they were husky fellows, and I'm thinking, ooh, that had been done some damage. But see, God will show you things. The Bible here, it's not going to tell you that, hey, there's a couple of deer coming at you. There's a drunk driver coming your way, right? There's some, you know, creepy guy that's wanting to marry your daughter or whatever. I mean, it's not going to tell you those things. So you got to be in tune with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for these people. We thank you, Holy Ghost, for your ministry, Lord Jesus. And you know, tonight, if you want to be received of the Holy Spirit, we want to pray with you. It is something you need. If you're born again, if you're not born again too, we want to take care of you tonight too. But Father, we thank you tonight for all these people that they're going to have a blessed life, Lord, this week. And we also thank you, Lord, that you're going to lead and guide them into truth. And we thank you for comfort in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have a great week, everybody.